The rain was thinning away, and the girl was walking in the center of the sidewalk with her head up and a few drops falling on her face. She smiled when she saw Montag. "Hello!" He said hello and then said, "What are you up to now?" "I'm still crazy. The rain feels good. I love to walk in it." "I don't think I'd like that," he said. "You might if you tried." "I never have." She licked her lips. "Rain even tastes good." "What do? Go around trying everything once?" he asked. "Sometimes twice." She looked at something in her hand. "What do you got there?" he said. "I guess it's the last of the dandelions this year. I didn't think I'd find one on the lawn this late. Have you ever heard of rubbing it under your chin?" "Look." She touched her chin with the flower, laughing. "Why?" "If it rubs off, it means I'm in love." "Has it?" He could hardly do anything else but look. "Well," she said, "you're yellow under there." "Fine. Let's try you now." "It won't work for me. Here." Before he could move, she had put the dandelion under his chin. He drew back and she laughed. "Hold still." She peered under his chin and frowned. "Well," he said. "What a shame," she said. "You're not in love with anyone." "Yes, I am." "It doesn't show." "I am very much in love." He tried to conjure up a face to fit the words, but there was no face. "I am." "Oh, please don't look that way." "It's that dandelion," he said. "You've used it all up on yourself. That's why it won't work for me." "Of course, that must be it. Oh, now I've upset you. I can see I have. I'm sorry, really I am." She touched his elbow. "No, no," he said quickly. "I'm all right. I've got to be going, so say you forgive me. I don't want you angry with me." "I'm not angry. Upset, yes. I've got to go see my psychiatrist now. They make me go. I make up things to say. I don't know what he thinks of me. He says I'm a regular onion. I keep him busy peeling away the layers." "I'm inclined to believe you need that psychiatrist," said Montag. "You don't mean that." He took a breath and let it out and I said, "No, I don't mean that. The psychiatrist wants to know why I go out and hike around in the forest and watch the birds and collect butterflies. I'll show you my collection someday." "Good." "They want to know what I do with my time. I tell them that sometimes I just sit and think, but I won't tell them what. I've got them running. And sometimes I tell them I like to put my head back like this and let the rain fall in my mouth. It tastes just like wine. Have you ever tried it?" "No, I..." "You have forgiven me, haven't you?" "Yes." He thought about it. "Yes, I have. God knows why. You're peculiar, you're aggravating, yet you're easy to forgive. You say you're 17? "Well, next month." "How odd, how strange. And my wife 30, and yet you seem so much older at times. I can't get over it." "You're peculiar yourself, Mr. Montag. Sometimes I even forget you're a fireman. Now, may I make you angry again?" "Go ahead." "How did it start? How did you get into it? How did you pick your work, and how did you happen to think to take the job you have? You're not like the others. I've seen a few. I know. When I talk, you look at me. When I said something about the moon, you looked at the moon last night. The others would never do that. The others would walk off and leave me talking or threaten me. No one has time anymore for anyone else. You're one of the few who put up with me. That's why I think it's so strange you're a fireman. It just doesn't seem right for you somehow." He felt his body divide into a hotness and a coldness, a softness and a hardness, a trembling and a not trembling, the two halves grinding one upon the other. "You'd better run on to your appointment," he said. She ran off and left him standing there in the rain. Only after a long time did he move. And then, very slowly, as he walked, he tilted his head back in the rain for just a few moments and opened his mouth.